OGP music. Give me fam and jali. We are more than
nothing I get. Nothing I get.
Nothing I get.
Nothing I get.
Once I forget.
I bring the beat to you.
Too many years to me. Sorry, I'm not fine. Tell you, you me. Many years you to be a to me. When you need my pants, you can afford to tell me.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Denise, Denise, great song choice. Great song choice. I love it. Yeah, I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Question, why? Why this song though?
To be honest,
yes, please.
Like,
why?
What when I think about this song, it's kind of like maybe I'm interpreting it the wrong way because I'm putting my own spin on it. But the way I see it is like we're all grinding. You know what I mean? So like nothing comes easy. So it's like I'm working hard for what I'm gonna get to. You can do the same thing. So that's why he's saying like nothing I get. Like nothing just came to him. But at the end of the day, he's still gonna get there. Even people are looking at him like, "Yo, how are you doing this? How are you getting the clothes you're wearing? You're still jealous of me, this, that, the third." He's like, "Nothing came to me easy. I still have to work toward this." So because I am the hustler that I am, to me, like nothing I get becomes easy, man. Everything is a work in progress.
Yeah, that's deep. That's real.
For sure.
Now this song speaks, you know, it speaks to me a lot too, man, and I love the fact that it's, you know, you shouldn't envy me because you, and like for me, I also look at it in terms of you don't know what I'm struggling with, you don't know where I've been, you don't know what I have, and I don't have, as much as you look at me and say I have everything, I don't even have what I think I should have yet. I'm still working on
I
love that, man. Fami is one of my favorite artists right now, especially the new school. So I love that you pick something new, but it's also like classic. It's one of those, you know, I love it.
He's brilliant. He's brilliant. Very soulful, very deep.
Oh man, yeah. He'll take you to a place. Like all his songs will take you to a place.
Yeah.
Like in your soul. Like he speaks to you. Like I love him lyrically and just everything where he goes.
Even from when the beat starts, you're just ready. You're just ready to go.
I love it. I love it. So Denise, so for those listening that don't know the song, if you could tell us what's the name of the song, the artist.
So the song is called Nothing I Get, and it's by Fameye.
Great, 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 great. Perfect. So Doc, phrase of day. What's our phrase of the day today?
Phrase of the day is in keeping with the theme that we've already gone with, which is Obesu Anonsen Potomoa, which means it's when you're near the water, that's when you realize that the crab coughs.
That is deep. We'll explore today how that fits within our interview. And then, that's deep. You're reaching today. You're making me think.
I'm telling you, I'm going deep in the bag. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, welcome. My name is Salome Kwale Radio. I go by Sal.
And my name is Samuel Ekwesi Boateng, and I go by Sam. And welcome to our podcast, Doctor.
Born Embarrassment, where we profile the life of the immigrant child in the diaspora.
This is essentially the immigrant's guide to disappointing your parents. And on this season, we will be highlighting entrepreneurship and speaking with some great entrepreneurs.
We're here with another great entrepreneur. Great mind, great Ghanaian. Miss Denise Mensah.
Woo! Welcome to Miss Akwaba. Akwaba, welcome,
everybody.
Akwaba, Akwaba.
So Denise, as part of the Doctor and Embarrassment family ritual, we like to put our guests through a little lightning round we get to know you. It's word association. We're going to ask you a bunch of questions. First thing that comes to mind, we want you to spit that out. Okay. If you need time to think, you could say pass, and we'll get back to that at the end.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's go. Where were you born?
Brampton.
Brampton, Ontario. Oh, wow. Where in Ghana is your family from?
My mom is from Abitibi. They're from Quilt.
Okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Yeah, you're free Quilt.
Nice. First time back to GH.
I've never gone to Ghana.
Whoa.
Oh, heck no. Hell no.
So we're checking on together.
Hell no.
So we're changing this after this.
Yes, please. An absolute no.
Most sad.
Wow. What's your favorite Ghanaian movie?
favorite Ghanaian movie?
Pass.
Pass, okay.
All right, what is your favorite Ghanaian song?
My favorite Ghanaian song is A Toad Like That by Ofori Amponsa.
Oh, classic.
Oh, my goodness. That song, it doesn't matter that it's 7 minutes long.
Listen to all of this.
With my whole chest.
I love it.
It's all love.
Favorite Ghanaian food?
My favorite Ghanaian food is, it would have to be Balku and Nkrumah with Rubaiyat.
Nkrumah. Sure. Jeez,
it's killing us.
I know.
Classic.
I can't do Nkrumah. It's too...
Why?
Slimy.
Benku, I was like that before. I was like that before with the Nkrumah being too slimy, but now it just hits different.
I think at my older age, it just hits different.
Like when I give me a good bowl of Balku and Nkrumah, ah.
That's like, yeah, it, that is really happiness in the bowl.
Yes.
All right. Let's see, outdooring or wedding?
Definitely wedding.
All right. Jollof or watch it?
Watch it.
You know what's up. That's, you know what's up.
All day, every day.
Bread, yes, jollof. Thank you. Yes. Malta, Fanta.
Fanta.
Ah, boom.
Yes.
Unless it's bitter malt. Bitter malt.
Fanta's where it's at. Don't mind him. In cutting quine or light soup?
I would have to be in cutting quine.
Thank you. From beef or highlight?
Oh, absolutely highlight.
Yeah.
The messages in highlight are okay. Different.
So for classic, yes.
Yes. Adwa or Azonto?
Adwa.
Oh, nice.
Old Soul Denise.
Classic.
Old yeah, Soul Denise.
KLM or Delta?
I would say KLM just because those are the ones that my parents talk about. So I don't know. But KLM.
Top three Ghanaian artists.
So definitely Ofori Amponsa. Okay. I love me some Kwabena Kwabena.
Kwabena Kwabena, okay.
And lastly, just to keep it current.
Correct.
No, actually, that okay. My highlight. That's the breath.
That's it. Oh, wow.
Like their songs are so meaningful. I know at my young age, I was singing it with my chest, not knowing what I was talking about.
Wow. I love it.
All right. RIT to the legend.
Right.
And finally, Doctor on the Best.
For myself?
Yes.
Embarrassment.
Yeah.
Welcome to the team.
Say it with your chest.
Yeah. I'm an embarrassment.
This is an official welcome. And just so our guests know you fully, what is your full name? What name were you given at your outdoor?
My full name is Denise Nimako Mensa.
Oh, wow. Marco. Beautiful. Yep.
Thank you.
And what do
and
you
what
go
day were you born, by the way?
What, yeah, okay, sorry, yeah.
I was born on a Friday, so it's, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Ifeanyi Nimako.
Yes, Ifeanyi Nimako, there it is.
And what do people call you? So what are you called at home as opposed to everybody else?
At home, mostly my parents call me Ifeanyi.
Okay.
Mostly Denise.
Denise Sapuan.
Yeah.
Okay. Any meanings to your name that you're aware of?
So originally, they thought I was going to be a boy. Doctors had told my parents that I was going to be a boy. So my dad was very keen on naming me after his father.
Okay.
But then in the delivery, he said, just kidding, you have a bouncing baby. So in the back of my dad's mind, I'm still named after my grandfather. Just like my mannerisms, and his name was W.K. Mensa. So my dad... Sometimes he refers to me as that. That's
WK.
He knew he was going to be naming his son, not a daughter. So.
Oh, wow.
Poor father. We're going to call him and give him therapy.
Right? Poor guy. They literally had clothes and everything.
Wow.
True.
Wow. So Denise, as a child, what is the first thing you remember that you wanted to be when you grew up?
As a child, I really wanted to be a pediatrician.
I wanted to be a doctor.
A doctor.
Wow.
So you wanted to be
this a great job.
Children.
No, it wouldn't have been. You would have been this guy. You'd have been late to everything.
Awesome. Awesome. Awesome job.
I had such a connection with children. Like, I was almost like the baby whisperer. So I was like, oh, in my future, I have to take care of them.
Oh, wow.
I
was very
keen on becoming a pediatrician. Yeah.
Wow.
And what did mom and dad think?
Oh, they thought that was great. So this great.
Of course.
My dad thinks my pediatrician dreams are going to be reincarnated through my daughter. So
okay. It's always there. It's always there.
It's always there.
The hope in.
Now.
So what's your professional title now? What do you do?
So right now, I'm a behavioral therapist. On the spectrum. And in my department specifically, we are part of like a treatment and research team. So basically we get students who in their natural school settings, teachers have basically said, we can't do with this kid because they're too disruptive, they're too self-injurious, they're too aggressive. So either you guys do something with them or we're going to kick them out of school.
Wow.
So to come into our program, they have to be referred. And when they come in, we basically take them in. We do a whole bunch of assessments and we just, you know, run different programs with them. Our main goal really is to teach them a functional way of either communicating or just, you know, adapting to life. Because some of our students have had such a long history of,
when
I punch somebody, they'll give me all the things I need. But then our program and we're like, no, that's not socially acceptable. So then we teach them how to, you know, whether it's sign for a cookie instead of punching somebody, whether it's, you know, use a picture exchange for a cookie, whatever strategy fits the student, that's what we work with them towards. And then we just get them below a certain line on our graphs. And then we send them back out into their regular school settings.
This sounds better than a pediatrician. This is, you've done way better than these doctors.
Listen, we rely on behavioral therapists heavily, so that's important. For those of you listening who don't really know, when she says they're on the spectrum, she's talking about autistic spectrum disorder. So these are kids with basically social impairment, language impairment, behavior issues who've been diagnosed to be, and then they call it spectrum because, you know, it's completely different from person to person.
Absolutely.
In terms of how it manifests. And so that's why they could be completely functional and living their life, or they can be completely dependent.
Yes.
And so, yeah, the job she does is uber important. Very important.
There's a saying in the community that says, when you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism.
You've met one, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it's so vast on that spectrum, like you're saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. It's, so what is your actual professional title?
I'm called an instructor therapist.
Okay. Well, why did you decide to pursue this career? I know you love children. Any other particular reason?
I didn't. So I did lots. So I originally went to university wanting to be a teacher, actually. So I went to university wanting to be a teacher. Found out that like university just wasn't for me. I don't know if it's because I just wasn't ready to go yet, but I have Ghanaian parents who will not allow me to.
I don't understand.
What do you mean you're not ready?
What do you mean it's not for you?
Oh my God. Listen,
it's not for me.
Why do you want to stay home?
Oh, yeah. It's not for me. Remember, child, you can't school. It's not for me.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah. On your serious. Oh, yeah, bro.
Right. So I went in wanting
to serious.
Sure, I found out that university just wasn't my speed. I didn't like the way of learning, but I finished. But I'd gotten pregnant in my last year of university. I didn't want to move back to Waterloo. I was going to Laurier University at that time. I didn't want to move back to Waterloo with a newborn. So while I was on my mat leave, I started looking up different programs because one thing about me too, I love to learn. So I just started looking up different programs and I came across the behavioral science technology program at George Brown. And I said, okay, this sounds pretty cool. The program description is kind of vague, which we found in our cohort. We started off with 60 students. We ended up graduating with only 16.
Oh, wow.
just because of, I think, the perception of what people thought the program was going to be. So I really didn't know what I was going into. But once I got into it, it definitely showed that, yes, this is where I belong. It showed in my grades. It showed in my effort.
Wow.
It just really was for me. So I'm actually pretty happy that, you know, things worked out the way that they worked out.
So I know that we mentioned before that you're a little bit of a hustler and you're all over the place. Is this the only thing you do, or what else do you have your hands in right now?
So right now I'm also a hairdresser. Specifically just like braiding and things like that. I haven't really, well, to be honest, I'm a jack of many trades. So anything to do with hair I can do. I mostly focus on braiding hair. Yes.
So I have a question. How long have you been doing hair, and like, is it a passion? Like, when did you learn to do hair? How did that come about?
So I really started doing my own hair in grade 6, just because I didn't want my mom to do it anymore. I wasn't cool enough. You know what I mean? Mommy wasn't giving me the styles that the girls had.
The latest so styles, yeah.
I had to do my own thing. So I started braiding my hair from grade 6, and just kind of like, in high school, I would do like my guy friends' hair in the cafeteria, you know, things like that. And I think I always had a passion for it. I just didn't have the audience for it. When I went off to university, I was kind of like the only person in our group who knew how to do hair. So a lot of word of mouth, but it actually became like a real passion where I kind of like branded myself and things like that, probably in about 2018. That's when I made like my Instagram page, and that's when I started getting like a lot more traction. Whoa. Yeah.
So when you were going off to high school, why wasn't doing hair, or, you know, get into that space, a career path that you decided that's what I want to focus on?
Oh, come on. You're going to tell your parents to
I know, right?
You're
not serious. Oh. You're not serious. Don't even waste your breath.
They're going to tell you that, like, doing hair is not a moneymaker. Like, it never even crossed my mind to take it as a career path, to be honest. It was nothing. Yeah, it never crossed my mind to say, let me take this on full time. It never crossed my mind.
Wow.
That's where the money bags are.
And I guess where you are now in your career, and since you branded yourself from 2018, what does that spectrum look like? Like, are you looking at, oh, this could be something I go into full time, or is it still, yeah, this is a nice hobby, this is something that, you know, I do
it's
on the side forever?
Absolutely something I could see myself doing full time. Being in this industry now, I've seen that the beauty industry is a huge industry. Like, I'm talking, people are begging you, can you please fit me in? Even during the pandemic, like, I had people messaging me, I'm like, sis, I promise I'll wear two masks. Like, we can sit on in the backyard. Like anything, free, just fit me in. Like, you know,
I'll bring plexiglass.
Literally, like, they're like, I will be in the hazmat suit if you want. Like, please, I need my hair done. So it's definitely something that, more so now, I'm looking into what other skills can I equip myself with, just to fully focus on the hair industry, because it is booming. It is booming. Wow. Yes.
It's big. Oh gosh. Yeah. from behavioral therapist to hair.
Right.
Therapist to beautician therapist. I mean, that in itself is a spectrum.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I find that everybody who does hair, some form of, you know, either barbers or hairstylists, you end up being a therapist.
Oh, absolutely.
So do you find that you're often using some of the skills that, you know, the therapy skills that you've learned on some of your clients as well?
Yeah, I find that some of my clients come in with kids who are on the autism spectrum. So a lot of times they're bouncing questions off of me, which I love to, because I just love to be able to bridge the gap of both my careers.
Yeah.
And I find that a lot of my clients love to just dump information onto me. I'm a very easygoing person. I'm a very chill person. I remember one of my clients had said one time that when she received my confirmation message, she was nervous because it was so specific. But then when she came here, she's like, you're amazing. She's like, you're such a vibe. So I just feel like a lot of people just gravitate towards my personality and just the fact that like I'm just such an easygoing person. I'm easy to talk to. You're also just sitting here with, you know, staring at a blank wall. I'll put on a show. I'll put on a podcast. You know, we could have conversation that way. So I really find that a lot of my
doctor and embarrassment, of course.
There you go. There you go.
You have to put that in the rotation.
So I find that it's easy to talk to people, and like you're saying, it does turn into sometimes a therapy session with some of my clients, just because, you know, they're looking for somebody to talk to, non-biased person in their situation. So
yeah,
it works out well. Mm-hmm.
This is the brag zone. Right? We don't want no fake Ghanaian humble, you know, it's only by his you've worked hard, right? And I don't know much behavioral therapists, right? And I know you've done well for yourself, and also being able to build a brand, you know, doing hair is big, right? And then getting that contact, especially in the GTA, right? Mm-hmm. Having people refer other people to you. I know these girls are not easy. Yeah. In terms of who does their hair.
Right.
So this is what we call our bragging session. List of your accomplishments. Give us your highlight reel. What you've been able to accomplish so far in your short career and where you've come from.
Perfect. So as a behavioral therapist, I graduated school on the dean's list all three of my years.
Wow.
I finished with a 3.8 GPA, which was definitely like such
Excuse
a
me.
Turnover.
Wow.
University, because university wasn't rough.
Wow.
And just in regards to my hair, I mean, I started off maybe with like 20 people following me, till right now I probably have about like 1,200 people following me. And just achievement in itself, because social media is so give and take, you know what I mean? Like, and just being able to put yourself out there, you're so easily targeted. My hair page is called Oh My Gosh, Who Did Your Hair? That originated from my cousin, because all her friends always used to say to her, Oh My Gosh, Danielle, who did your hair? Oh My Gosh, Danielle, who did your hair? Shout out to Danielle, my guinea pig, man.
Shout out, Danielle.
She would always
thank you for donating yourself to science.
Literally. Thank you for donating yourself to science, man. So it's just amazing to see, like, when people, even when people hear my hair page name, they're just like, what? And they're just like, oh, her, it's Oh My Gosh, Who Did Your Hair? And they're just like, wow, that's so clever. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Just being able to come up with that name and just literally, like, branding myself as such a good knotless braider, which was, I remember one of my girlfriends was my first ever knotless client. I never told her that I didn't know how to do it. So I did her hair, and then after I finished, I said, I got a little secret. She's like, why? I said, this is my first time.
Wow.
But, you know, having friends who trust me is just, it's just an amazing thing. So just being able to just brand myself as this amazing knotless hair braider, and just all the styles that I do, putting my effort into, like, I'm just so proud of myself.
Wow. I'm proud of you.
Super.
And Denise, I know there's one aspect that you forgot to brag about. You are a mother.
I am.
to an incredibly smart, beautiful young lady.
Yes.
Why didn't you lead with that?
That's a really good question.
And you've been able to build this brand and do all this stuff while, you know, being a young mom.
That's a really good question. I think also just because when women become moms, I find that our identity is often to our children. You know, I do this for her, I do this for her. And to be honest, I'm a very strong person on the fact that, like, and I don't want this to sound bad, but I do it for me. Because if I'm not a good me, I can't be a good mom. So I don't use Nyla as my daughter's name, my beautiful 8-year-old. I don't use her as like my standpoint for the basis why I'm doing things, because I find that sometimes when people do that, it's too much pressure on, you know, keeping that status up. But if I'm telling you that I'm doing this for me, it's genuinely because I want to be a better Denise, so that I could be a better mom, so that I could be a better girlfriend, so that I could be a better everything. And it shows in the effort that I put into the things that I do. So I'm a very, like, a lot of times my clientele are women, and when they come in and they're talking about like, oh, I do it for the kids, I said, why you don't?
Listen, honestly, that is such an important point.
Yeah.
Important, like, parents do lose their identity.
Absolutely.
And it's a part of why people become stressed and miserable.
Yes.
And then in turn, as stress gets displaced back onto the children.
Right. And that's one thing
they
fail
they stop living.
That's one thing I'm proud to not do in this life, because we all come from African households. We all come from Ghanaian households.
Yeah.
We've seen how that struggle has manifested right in our lives.
Yes.
One thing I always said that I would never do, and that's such a good question you asked me, Sam, why didn't I lead with that? Because I usually do talk about Nyla at any chance I get. But when it comes to like my businesses and my success, like I did it for me. I did it so that I could be the best version of
nothing wrong with that.
Can.
Yes.
The best version of her. You know?
Absolutely. I love it. I think just being so introspective and knowing I'm doing this for me, it is so important. And as you mentioned, right, leaving that pressure off that child, because oftentimes we say we're doing it for that child, and if it doesn't go right, then we start resenting that child for her.
Yeah,
I'm trying to do this for you, and it didn't work out. My life would have been better. I would have did this.
You don't appreciate this.
Oh yeah. Me bought two factories at Mao, and I wouldn't boom it up, right? But if you know yourself, matter about what the child is doing.
we have this flaw in our thinking where we have children so that they can serve us. That's sort of how we see it. They can serve us to become better people. They can serve us so they can send them places. They can do things for us. They can, in our old age, they can care for us.
Right.
Which is noble. And it's something that's not something you should not instill in your children. That's something you should.
Right.
Yeah.
But we procreate to give life and to give the next generation the opportunity to keep going.
Right.
They're not there really fully to serve us. Right. But to give them the tools to be able to survive this world. But it, like you guys said, it's a big pressure to have to put this on children.
Absolutely.
And expect put all these expectations on them. And then in the end, you know, that builds resentment. So yeah, absolutely. You know, I love that. On that note, tell us about some setbacks that you faced.
So just in general, I mean, as I started off, I said I was in university. University was not my speed. Like it was not the place for me. I found that it was very depressing just because you also have an expectation from your parents to do well.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm not doing well. They're looking at me like, you have two other siblings that went to university. So what's your issue? What do you mean you can't do well? Even though we were in three separate programs, you know what I mean? But because Vanessa and Jemima did it, Denise should already have it down.
Figured out.
Right.
That's your problem.
So, thank you. So just being in university, and then you just feel so defeated. Because once again, you are looking at your siblings like, okay, they did it, so why can't I do it? And then on top of that too, I ended up getting pregnant. So now I'm failing school. But they told me, we didn't send you to school to go get pregnant. And now I'm in my
life. What do you, insubordinate.
Oh yeah, almost your uncle Jim degree, bro.
Right.
You know, they are collab.
Right.
We are true ones. I got that.
So that was very nerve wracking for me, just in the sense, like, also like when I was in high school and stuff like that, I was like the golden child. You know, like I wrestled throughout my high school career. I'm a 2-time RAPSA champion.
Wow. Hey, so why do we leave that out in the brag zone?
I feel like
that's true.
I was thinking of my life now, you know?
No.
My life now.
Because we're trying not to scare away a potential husband. That's why a wrestler, fam.
Yes, I'm a 2-time RAPSA, so the region of Secondary School Association.
Wow.
2-time.
So don't bring your nonsense to Denise.
Congratulations.
Huh?
Thank you.
I mean, that's amazing.
Thank you.
She'll put you in a headlock.
That was like the only sport I was good at. No hand-eye coordination. So if I'm beating up people, that one you can do. Like coming off of like all those highs, I guess, from my high school career, going into university and just hitting like that ultimate low, you're just like, am I kind of good at it? You start to question yourself. You know what I mean? Like none of those accomplishments matter, because you're just kind of reduced to the fact that like you're not doing well. So even finishing school, like university, I just graduated with a general arts degree. When I came, as I was on mat leave and I was looking at different programs, and I found the behavioral science one, and I started doing that one, I was like, wow, this is really where I fit in. So I guess from you know, experiencing kind of the lows of university and being able to find a different program that really worked for me, probably at a time that was better for me too.
Mm-hmm.
chef's kiss. Like, wow. That's what I needed. Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. So how do your parents feel now, right? So they had a dream of having a pediatrician, the golden child, Denise. We're going to send her off to Laureate. She'll come back with a degree ready to write the MCATs and go to med school.
Become a pediatrician.
With all the struggles, but now you've been able to find your feet in, you know, something amazing, something that's worthwhile, that's changing lives. But also, you've also found your inner hustle in terms of doing hair and, you know, making a brand and business. How do they feel about those two things of where you are right now in your career?
My parents rate me so much.
My parents think I
am amazing. And it really, really warms my heart because my parents can see my grind and my hustle. Boom. My parents can see how hardworking I am. My mom always say, "Ain't you the meha Denise?" No, like literally, like she just like she knows I work 8 to 4 and come home and braid 5 to 12 every single day. So it's like my days don't stop, you know. And my mom and dad literally see my hustle and my drive, and literally all my mom talks about is like how proud she is of me for how much of a go getter I am. Even though I didn't fulfill their pediatrician dreams, they're still really proud of me.
It's not too late. All right, Miss Snow. Miss Snow, why? It's not too late. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, too late.
No, as dad said, your daughter will be the pediatrician. Don't worry.
In his dreams.
We passed that on to him.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, but my parents, they are my number one fans. There's nothing in regards
to
like.
That's lovely to hear.
Oh, yes. Even if I needed somebody to watch my daughter in the interim or whatever it may be, like, they never hesitated because they know Denise is not lazy. Denise is just not in the basement doing nothing. Like, I am hardworking. I am very hardworking. Yeah. And they recognize that, and they really, really admire that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Big shout out to mom and dad. And I think this is a great lesson to, you know, all our parents out there, that when your children don't necessarily meet your expectations of what you wanted them, realizing that you've raised them right, and when they're doing and progressing, supporting them and supporting and being their biggest cheerleader. Because I think
I can tell by
talking to you that your parents push and their validation of what you're doing also gives you another boost say, I'm so confident that I can do this.
Oh, yes, and absolutely. And one thing I also love about my parents is the fact that, like, whatever I know, of course, they have their olden mentality sometimes, but I really appreciate the fact that my parents have really adapted to the Western lifestyle in regards to, it's not what we want that the kids are going to do. We have to trust, we have to trust that we've instilled in them these good values, these good morals, and that our kids have sense. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's the number one thing. Like, just believing in the fact that you've given your children sense,
the
right?
Tools, absolutely.
Right, it's cool. But whatever they're doing, you know they're doing it, even though you may not see the light at the end of the tunnel. Just having faith in the fact that they are towards a light at the end of the tunnel.
Absolutely.
And I think my parents have really adapted to that. Just even in the sense of, like, when I started the hair thing, my mom was like, where are you going to do it?
Exactly.
She's like, there's no space in the house. I created space. And then she came, she's like, oh, this is nice. Yeah, that's nice, you know? And then it's you know, there's not really hair and money. And I said, money, hair is not like back in the day when you go to Auntie Monica's house from 6 a.m.
She does your pony. She just does your pony for you.
Right, and then she's even cooking rice that you're trying to get your hair done. Like, that's not how the service works anymore. You know what I mean? Like, this is a very big and booming business, and they're able to see that now. So just having, like, just believing in the fact, like, yo, even though my kid is making this decision, I've given them the right tools, and I trust that they're going to make the right decision with it. And definitely the fact that my two career paths are two completely different career paths, my parents were able to, like, no, this girl means business, and she's doing what it do. She's doing the same. Yeah.
Great. On that note, we have an equation we call the perfection equation, which is when passion meets purpose, you experience pleasure in your career. Would you say that right now you're there?
I would say that. In regards to being a behavioral therapist, I think our work is so fulfilling. in the sense that we can have a student come in who is, you know, just kind of, like I said, most of the time in their schools, the teachers have written them off because they can't do anything with them. So seeing them come into our program and then just the progress that they make by the time that we're transitioning them out back to school, it is such a fulfilling. I remember one time we had a student whose mom basically her whole life had stopped because she was so nervous of leaving the girl with other people because she never knew she was going to be called like, oh, she's broken this person's arm. She's done it. She's done that. Like, she was so nervous. She had completely changed her life. After she was in our program, I believe she was in our program for 2 years, mom was able to take her to Philippines.
Wow.
Okay? So even the fact that mom was literally on her knees, like thanking us because she was just like, I never thought a moment like this would come in my life where I could put her on a plane, not even just a short plane ride, a long plane ride, take her all the way to Philippines. You know what I mean? So when you hear stories like that, you just feel so fulfilled. And just in regards to also doing hair, like just having women come and sit in my seat and, you know, they're like, oh, my hair is breaking here, my hair is whatever, you know, just so many complaints. And then you finish their hair and they're just feeling themselves, just looking in the mirror, swinging it. You know, they just feel different. So just imparting that confidence into somebody at the work of your hands, you're just like, yes.
Yeah.
You did your hair. Like, you know?
Oh my God. Who did your hair?
Who did your hair?
Oh my God. OMG.
So I definitely feel fulfilled in both career paths. Just, you know, by the time people leave and just like the sheer contentment they have from Denise blessing them with whichever one I bless them with. So.
So I guess practically for both career fields, how would an immigrant, you know, kid right now who's looking to either get into behavior therapy or start their own hair business, like what are some of the practical things that they need to do and how can they get into these spaces?
So for the behavioral aspect of it, they would have to go to school and do some sort of behavioral science technology program. I know those programs are offered at George Brown and also Seneca. They're two colleges. And, you know, you just apply into the program that way. When I applied to George Brown, I was not a previous student there before or anything like that. So I was starting brand new. Took my high school credits just so like if somebody else was applying for it, they'd take their credits right before going into post-secondary. And in regards to doing hair, literally we live in a digital world now. So your pictures, your, you know, just talking, selling yourself. Instagram is a huge database for putting yourself out there. Instagram, Twitter, all those social media, different accounts. So just literally putting yourself out there. You might even have to do a couple of people's hair for free just so that you have content that you could But definitely, one, believing in yourself, believing in your craft, and working on perfecting your craft. So even if you start off and your braids might look a little shaky, don't give up because you're not going to look like the Instagram people right away. One thing that I also always stand by is, you know, we've heard this a lot in our lives, comparison is the thief of joy. And it's so easy for you to go to Instagram and be like, oh, but my braids don't look like so-and-so's, but so-and-so has been in the game for 8 years. You just did yesterday. You know what I mean? So don't be discouraged by the fact that it doesn't look like that because you will eventually get there provided that's where you want to get to. So just definitely putting yourself out there. Putting yourself out there is the best thing that you can do for yourself. Like I said, even if it's doing offering, you know, I'll do three people's hair for free. You do that. Cool. You post the pictures. Content, content, content. Wow. That's literally what'll get you to where you want to go because that's what happened with me. Content, word of mouth, just people seeing your craft. They're like, oh, I want to go do my hair there. Oh, yeah, I like that. I want to do it there. You know, and that's how you get yourself and brand yourself and become bigger.
I love it.
Love it. So what's next for Denise?
What's next for Denise? Right now, Denise is pregnant again. So
congratulations.
Heck no.
Thanks.
You haven't
congratulations.
Thank you.
You haven't become a doctor yet, and you're still having another one.
Right, still another one. Like,
listen,
completely.
At least now we have two chances of the children now. You know, becoming.
Oh, yeah, now now we have two potential.
Now
it's
still holding on to their parents. Let it go.
Oh, congratulations!
Thank you so much.
Amazing.
So right now,
I think it's the first time we've interviewed a pregnant woman here, knowingly. Anyway.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And there's some pregnant person who's come out here and not, you know, told us. We don't know.
we have our first doctorate embarrassment baby. So
there you go.
Yeah. We'll come ask the baby questions in a hospital.
There you go. For me right now, I'm going to go, my next step, I think of a lot of things at once. So there's a part of me that kind of wants to venture into the behavioral therapist field in the sense of creating, because all my sisters and I, we all work in the service industry. So my oldest sister is a nurse. She's an RN. My second sister, she's a social worker, but right now she's actually working with the city of Markham with their policies and things like that. And then there's me, who's the behavioral therapist, my brother, who also works in community outreach. So a really big dream of ours is to kind of open up a center, whether it's for, you know, specifically, I do want it to be for Black people, because I find that when it comes to, you know, certain diagnoses in our community, it's very much so, if I don't talk about it, it will disappear. Or he's just stubborn. Or nothing really.
They're stigmatized, and there's a lot of denial.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, we're going to take him to the pastor for them to pray, you know, different things like that. So I think a really big dream of mine is for us to open up a center, whether it's catering towards Ghanaians specifically or just the Black community in general, just to bring awareness to the fact that, like, this stuff is not anything you've done. It wasn't witchcraft. Yeah. It wasn't this. It wasn't that. Like, there's a real. Let you see the things you.
Yeah, maybe it was. We don't know.
There you go. Maybe it was, but we can still help. You know, so.
But even if it's witchcraft, grind out, we still need therapy.
We can help. We can put some program in place for little man. Like,
we just have to get the woman in the village to confess.
There you go.
We'll buy the water sign.
That's two eggs and slap, so we can go with that. Simple.
Oh my gosh. Wow, so just opening up something where, like, we can service the community on terms that they understand. You know what I mean? And if it's like you need people to speak tree to you to really understand what you're saying, all of us what I mean? Even if you need to see Black faces so that you feel more comfortable sharing the real details of what's going on, opposed to, like, you know, trying to sugarcoat it. Because I find that a lot too, people are like, okay, if I make it seem less than it is, they won't really know what's going on, and then they really can't judge me. But it's like, we don't want to judge you, we want to help. So that's one thing I see for myself. And just then on the other side of the hair side, I see myself, all my friends, all of us are well versed in the beauty industry. I have about five friends who are makeup artists, I have friends who do lashes, I have friends who do hair. So I really can see us also opening up some sort of beauty bar where you come there and you get kind of like a one-stop shop for all your beauty needs. You just lay here, get your lashes done, come get your nails done in this corner, come braid your hair in this corner, and then you leave for the day.
Wow.
Kind of book with three separate people, you know, in Brampton, Mississauga, and Toronto.
Yeah.
Have everything at a one-stop shop.
Yeah,
so,
I like this. I like this. I like that. I like the beauty bar. Beauty bar, I have my wine, I have some brown wine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you have some wine, because you can't call it a bar, not, you know.
There you go. I like that idea, though. You're onto something, Sal. You're onto something.
Thank you.
You're definitely onto something.
We do your feet, too. We do your feet. You can get some wine. We do your
head. There you go. Everything. Just living.
I'm going to this beauty bar.
Well, I'm coming. Which means Doc is investing in this beauty bar. So please, drop the business plan. And
don't worry. You'll be the first person I see.
No, we love it. And where can people find you? What's your social media, websites, anywhere people can find you for, you know, anything they want to reach out to you?
So people can find me on Instagram. My hair page is at OMG, who did your hair, all together, no spaces. And then my personal page, if people just want to chop it up with me, they could reach me at Dipsy, D-I-P-S-I-E, Hilton, all one word also.
Okay. All right. Denise, thank you for
no relation to Paris Hilton.
None at all.
None at all.
None at all.
Oh, dog. Dog, phrase of the day. What was it again?
Phrase of the day is obeying swat, which is to say, when you're near the water, you can hear the crab cough.
Wow. That is deep. And for me, I took it more as like, you don't really know someone or what their, you know, what their hustle is or what they have until you get really close to them. And this will be especially about, even with this interview with Denise, because I've known Denise relatively, you know, all her life,
almost. All my life.
But I knew nothing about this. Oh my God. But I knew nothing about like all of this and like just the amazing person she is. Like I knew Denise is an amazing person, just how amazing she is and just like the level of deepness. And like sometimes we watch people from afar and even in their struggles and even in some of the challenges that they go through, we don't realize until we get closer just what gifts are inside of them.
And I think
that's where I take this in terms of like we need to get closer to people. Even in their, you know, struggles, even in their high times, to understand them better.
Right.
Yeah.
And Denise, how did you find, you know, our phrase of the day and your thoughts on it?
So what I also find the phrase of the day, I kind of take from it because I didn't even know crabs cough. You know what I mean? So also, we could take it as, you know, we think that we're the only ones going through something or we're the only ones that are facing something. But you don't even know that those around you too, they're going through it too. You know what I mean? So something as simple as a cough, you know, you wouldn't think that a crab would cough. But just like how you and I could come through trials and tribulations, so can your neighbor beside you. So don't think that like, you're the only one going through something sometimes. Sometimes it's good to lean on others just to, you know, get closer to others so that you never know what kind of advice or what kind of, you know, help you might get. It's not every day that we have to be alone. It's not every day that you have to hide yourself from if you're going through something. Sometimes reach out to people because they might be going through the same thing. They can help you through it. So definitely that's kind of what I interpreted from that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's big. And I mean, I think you guys have said it all, really. If you're not close enough to a picture, you don't know what's going on. You don't know another person's struggles, right? I can take this to talk about, you know, autism, which is, you know, in our society, in our culture, we shun.
Oh yes,
it, and it's still very much stigmatized, you know, and there's a lot of beliefs in, you know, spirituality and not really knowing what people, parents, caregivers, or people with autism spectrum disorder go through. And it's not till you get closer that you know just how difficult it can be.
Right.
And not just the difficulty also, but the, how rewarding it can be.
Right.
And then just what a difference we can make in other people's lives. So, you know, get closer to the story. Don't judge. Get closer. Get to understand. So that's what I take from it.
Well. So, Doc, what did we learn about Denise today? What's one thing you learned about Denise?
Oh, man. I she's such a hustler.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? like she hustles 24/7 and she doesn't stop. And that's incredible. And I learned that she's very wise. You know, if she can't take care of herself, how good is she to her family, to her daughter? No, so you have to put yourself number one. It's self to the parent, but believe me, take care of yourself.
Absolutely.
Your children will be better for it.
Yes.
Man. So as I mentioned earlier, I've known Denise like her whole life. Oh my God. But I learned so much just even just chatting with you today. I don't even know where to start. But I think the biggest thing I learned, as Doc said, is just how wise you are, right? Just in terms of being able to understand where your limitations are and also how to adapt to whatever situation you're in and what you're facing. And I love that about you. And I think if there's one thing I learned to do from this is to adapt to my situation. Never let anything let me down. Never let any challenges or struggles, or if I'm not succeeding in one area, be the end of it. But what's my next thing that I can go to? Where can I pivot to actually use my skills? And I love that about you and where you're going. I see so many big things for you.
Thank you.
And we'll chat after this because I have so many ideas for you. So
yes.
I think where you're going and a big shout out to mom and dad. They've raised you right. They've raised you an amazing woman. And I think
shout out to Kate. Yeah.
Oh man. Shout out. Big shout out to them. Like, because I think a lot of people don't realize in terms of like, especially our generation and, you know, the younger generation, I always call Denise a little one because she's a few years younger than me, quite a bit. So I always look at it as the next generation. And when you see them growing up, you're always like, where are they going? What do they have sense, as Denise?
Right.
I'm like, you have so much sense. And it's just been, I can see your parents in you, which is hilarious. And just where you positioned yourself and where you're going and your goals. And how they've raised you to serve other people, and you don't even realize that in terms of the work that you're doing right now.
Right.
It's just pure service, right? Like you're doing people's hair, you're taking care of children and helping them overcome a lot of these struggles, and just the selflessness that you have in you.
Thank
is,
you.
Is amazing, and I love that about
incredible.
You.
Incredible. Thank Admirable. You. Thank you.
So Denise, we're going to give you one last mic drop moment. If you had, if you met 17-year-old Denise right now, what one piece of advice would you give her from all that you've learned, all that you've gone through? What one piece of advice would you give Denise?
So it's kind of on the same theme that we've been going on, but just don't limit yourself. One thing I would tell myself is that you can be a jack of all trades, and don't let anybody tell you that there's only one path to take. It's important to keep learning and to keep evolving, you know, just because, like I said, I originally went to school to become a teacher. And although I didn't become, you know, a primary classroom teacher, I'm still a teacher in some respects with what I
Absolutely.
Do.
Absolutely.
So just not limiting yourself to say like, oh, I want to do this. I have to be tunnel vision on that one thing. You don't know what other lights are going to be along the way. And don't forget to stop to take a look to see if you like it or not. So just not limiting myself. Because there's many ways to get to the same goal. It might take longer, it might take shorter, but just enjoy the journey.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So there you have it.
There you have it. So Denise, we want to thank you once again for making the time to sharing your story.
Yes.
And for being with us. It's been super inspiring. I know our listeners are going to love it and be inspired because we are inspired. I'm super inspired right now. And very reflective of my life as well. So I really appreciate you taking the time to share your story.
Yes, thank you. Yes, shout outs.
Big shout outs. So first, Denise, if you have any shout outs to anybody, you can do it right now, then we'll do our credits.
Yes, I'm going to shout out my mom and dad, first and foremost, you know, because
dad.
Well, and I feel like this whole time I never shout out my man. I never shouted out my boyfriend, Mark. He's just such an amazing person. He supports me in any and everything that I do. So shout out to him for always being-
Shout out, Marcus.
always being in my corner. And also shout out to you, Sam. Shout out to you for, you know, keeping in contact with me and just like, you know, even our small checkups that we do and just allowing me this opportunity. You too, Sal, allowing me this opportunity to be on your podcast. I'm very, very happy to be.
You're most welcome.
Spend time
the privilege with- is ours.
It's ours.
The pleasure is all ours. Seriously.
We appreciate you. A big shout out as well to the Council of Advancement of African Canadians in Alberta.
Yes.
Operating as the Africa Center for supporting this season. As well, a big shout out to our listeners for always the support, ideas, content, and just for being with us in this journey and this ride. As well, a big shout out to producer in the back, Dave, King Dave. Thanks for all your hard work and always being with us on the show. And once again, a big shout out to Denise Lanza for being with us. And as we continue to profile entrepreneurs, we hope that you'll be with us next time. So until next time, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.